The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Caulfield coming up top of the hour talking about how the Penguins have suddenly become an interesting story. But Bob, I want to talk not only more about Pickens, but also about Russell Wilson. Dan Graziano, I think, is a very good reporter. Talking that it's, quote, not hard to imagine Russell Wilson getting a big contract from another team this offseason. And I know we're projecting ahead, but let's just say Russ keeps playing well. Like, you know, he might not be Josh Allen, but he might just be turning in a top 10 or so season in the NFL this year, maybe higher if this keeps going. How does this play out? I mean, the key question maybe being, is he going to shoot for top dollar, or is he happy in Pittsburgh, and is he happy with the money he already has? And would he take a discount? Like, how can you imagine this playing out?
Well, age is a primary concern here for both sides. He's 36 now, going to be 37 midseason next year. We have seen, you know, most guys get in this situation, there is a precipitous fall off in the game. But he's also, you know, playing in a way that reminds you of his heyday in Seattle. So the question would be, how many years is anyone talking about? And the bigger thing for him, I think, is, are you comfortable where you are, and do you think you have a chance to win? Because it seems to me that that's his number one thing. When you talk to him, it's about winning. He's made enough money. His wife makes money. They have no money issues whatsoever. However, you want to be, you know, treated fairly too in the market. So I would think it depends on how many years he can get, if that is value to him, or is it more important to be on a team that he thinks can compete and he feels very comfortable in, and has, you know, changed his whole professional dynamic going from Denver, where he's basically kicked out of town.
Yeah.
You know, he needed to come to a place like this. And I think the Steelers were a perfect opening because they needed somebody like him to come here.
Imagine the leverage he has going into the offseason with the Steelers if he wanted to exercise it. That thought just struck me. A franchise that was desperate for a quarterback, and I mean desperate. And they appear to have struck gold here. I don't think anybody, including them, thinks that Justin Fields is going to be the guy, especially not as early as next season. Nobody would feel comfortable handing the reins to him. I don't
think. But it depends on how far you look down the road here, too. And if you think, and they know by working with him what he is capable of, has he shown progress? He's so young. I still, there's a part of me that doesn't want to let that element go either.
I wouldn't trust it next year, and I tend to think when you're this far into a career that Justin is, that he's an okay quarterback, but I think you know by now if you have a guy, and I think the passing part of the game is an issue for him.
Yeah, but I think, you know, guys take different situations. I look at Sam Darnold. He's been how many teams now he's been with, and looked like his career was pretty much over as a starter, and yet he gets a second life going to a team that brought him into a system that he does well with. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out against Justin Fields, but I also think it comes down to what Russell Wilson wants. The Steelers can make him a nice offer, but if it's not enough years or money, then he can say, you know, I need more based on what I've done.
Well, I think
he'll sacrifice some of that to be with
a team that
could win.
So do I. And I think his leverage, I think he has all the leverage in the world, because I don't think that they're comfortable handing the reins to Justin Fields, nor do I think
you also have, don't you, the opportunity to franchise him if you can't figure something out or if he wants something different. Can you do that?
Is that right?
I'm wondering, because he's being paid by somebody else. Well, not, I mean,
I don't know. I'll be honest. I'd have to
check that too.
Get confirmation. But I agree with you. I don't think that Russell is going to exercise all of that. The top quarterbacks per year make, you know, Prescott's at 60. Oh my God, Trevor Lawrence, they paid $275 million, 55 a year. Jordan Love at 55, Joe Burrow at 55. Tua, 53, other guys over 50, Goff, Herbert, Lamar, and Hurts, Kyler Murray right up there. Who's a comparable to this? Kirk Cousins, at his age, what was his deal, Limitless Wonder?
$185 million or something of that nature, right? 4 years?
4 years, 180. So that's about $45 million a year. Matthew Stafford, you just told me, was what?
It's 4 and 120 or 160 that he signed an extension with the Rams.
Okay, so that's 40. Derek Carr, he's in his lower 30s. He signed for 37.5 a year. What about a Baker deal, Bob? 3 years for $100 million. Does that sound reasonable for Russell? A Baker Mayfield deal?
I think, especially if you could spread it out over those 3 years, yes, and it's more helpful to them in putting together a team with money to spend in free agency. But the question is, you know, how motivated is he to be in that upper echelon of prices
that
if he has a
question.
Good year. I don't know what he's thinking. But I could only bet
what if
my
he says
gut
40?
Would tell me $40 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he's making now. Based on, and the only difference is you have to pay it all next year. Denver can't help you there. But that's reasonable to me based on the market.
Something tells me that Russell really values this situation and wants to win and believes he'll have a chance to keep winning here. But who knows? You can't predict. What if another team swoops in here?
Well,
I'm
surprised
says.
Nobody did. Maybe a few did, but he chose the Steelers, which was a good choice for him. I'm surprised a lot of people wouldn't do that last year, citing, again, not a bad year in Denver. And for whatever reason, it just, you know,
I think
went
age,
in a different direction.
I think age, I think the way he was perceived, rightly or wrongly, in that whole Denver situation, especially when he got there. I think people thought he was cooked. I think this is the only situation where he was promised something, which was at least to start in, quote, pole position. I think this was the only place, Bob.
Yeah.
And I think they got lucky.
They got lucky because they didn't have anybody.
Right.
They got rid of the whole room.
Yeah. I mean, they were smart in a way, too, because he did have a good year in Denver. And they saw a guy who could still move around enough, still had the arm. Obviously, you're not going to lose all the intangibles, things like that. I think Russell Wilson, if I had to project, would sign a three-year deal here, will sign a three-year deal here for somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, maybe a little less, but somewhere in that neighborhood. That's my prediction with Russ. How about you?
Yeah, it sounds reasonable to me. So it just depends on whether, you know, the ultimate say is what he wants. And I would bet he'd sacrifice money to stay here. If that's what it takes, he'll get it done. He's made enough money. His wife makes a lot of money. How much money do you need, really?
Well, people don't think like that, but in this situation,
when you're 36 and facing the end of your career at some point, yeah,
you want to win.
You want to win.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that trump everything else?
Russell Wilson has made $305 million.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think every impression you get is that he absolutely loves it here. And he's helping them win. You figure he would have a shot to win here. But you still got to sign him. 412-928-9370. Wilson and Pickens on the table here. What do you got, Limits?
Let's go to Rick in Freedom.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
You know, the whole Pickens deal, if you look at the history of our receivers, everyone down the line, once they got money, just lost any maturity that they might have. And, you know, I have to agree with Bob. I would need to see him giving it all on every play. And one player that I look at that we currently have that on any play, you can tell is given over 100% is Skronek. If Pickens would play with the same attitude that Skronek has, I'd have no problem paying him as a top five receiver.
We're really going to the Skronik example.
Well, guys like Ben Skronik, though, these are the guys who, you know, they grow up knowing they may not have a chance in the NFL. They have to do everything possible, and I think that carries with them through their entire career. A guy like Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren had a fight and claw for everything he got. Any free agent, undrafted, is like that. When you're number one pick, unfortunately, things change. You think you don't have to do all that sometimes, and there are a lot of examples of it. To his point, Deontay Johnson got a big deal from the Steelers. Maybe not as big as he wanted, but it was big for them.
He should have been more like Skronik, Bob, Deontay.
Why not? No, you know my point. But the point is, for those guys who have to earn it the hard way, I think they appreciate it more, and it carries on with them. Guys who are number one picks, the high-end, second round, whatever the case may be, you know, the money comes in, and you take it for granted maybe a little bit, and you just say, I'm going to be here because I'm talented.
I'm not sure that that would work with George to say be more like
I'm not saying Pat. Specifically be like
I think
like
he
him.
Was, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he used that as an example. Guys who work their butts off because they know they have no other choice.
Right. And George
That attitude
George
would be great
knows.
With a guy who has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
You see that with Sidney Crosby. He's still the hardest working guy on their team despite his position in the league.
Right. But you take George with all that. That's what we just talked about at the beginning of the show. From the time that athletes are 7 years old, they get benefits if they're talented. And they get treated differently. Especially, we're not talking about a guy who's good. Like, you know, oh yeah, he's pretty talented. We're talking about a freak who might be the most freakish athlete. He's in the top 5 or 10 in the whole damn league.
Yeah, he does stuff with his body that nobody else can do, really, when you look at it. And makes these circus catches. So I want him to be here, but I want him to understand the role and... If he's going to get that kind of money, it comes with it a responsibility to carry on every single play. You can't get away from that.
Limits, are you on the be like Skronik bandwagon?
Blocking-wise, yes. The physical attributes of being a wide receiver, probably not.
Who's next?
Here is Scott in Atlanta.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, so just a little different side to Pickens. Chris Boswell and I play golf together when in the off season. So he got a ticket to the Falcons game with my son who graduated from Georgia, actually graduated with Pickens. He gets us in the friends and family afterwards, and my son's like, hey, Dad, let's go up and meet George. So we approach him, and I'm telling you, this kid is articulate. He was nice, engaging. Just started talking with my son for, you know, 6-7 minutes, so... You know, we hear all this other stuff, and none of that's excusable. But I'm telling you, the kid is sharp. He is not one of these, in my opinion, one of these kids that just thinks he's, you know, aloof or better than everybody else. So I just want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know he's young, all that talent. But, I mean, I was blown away. I mean, I'm a 60-year-old guy, so I was blown away at this young man. So I just think I'd sign him. Let's commit to him. And I think the future is really, really bright for him.
Well, that's good to hear from someone who knows him personally very well. It's just the childish stuff that has to get rid of his part of his game. I just don't want to see that. I don't think anything. And when you don't run because you're not involved in the play, that's a bad precedent to set. You're going to be looked at as the leader of that wide receiver room. What you do is watched by everyone else who comes in there. So therefore, there's a responsibility to that.
Yeah, it's not, for me, it's not attacking him as a person, as a human being at all. It's what are you doing on the football field? Or not doing that's either going to hurt or help this team to win. That's the question. And giving less than your best effort, that's a non-starter. And it apparently was for Mike Tomlin because George, you know, had the softest benching ever. Do you remember that, Bob? How
yes.
Tomlin phrased that, the word salad he used to basically say he's been benched. And Artie Smith, too, went along with that, saying, oh, yeah, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, we used to, their snap count. No, he got benched. So that, combined with the Cleveland thing, combined with stuff last year, not blocking, combined with stuff after the play in the Cincy game, it's just time, really. It's time to get past this crap. And that was interesting to see on Hard Knocks, Tomlin make it a point to go up to Pickens and say, are you with me? That play doesn't decide the game. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, and Pickens finally says, yes, sir, or something like that. Do we need, I guess he does. I guess Tomlin feels the need to tend to this guy in every situation, almost like he needs to be babysat through everything. And maybe because he's 23, he does, Bob. Maybe he does need that.
But again, he's 3 years into his professional career now. I'm sure he's gotten to the understanding, he should have by now, that how he carries on, even when he's not with the football on the field, and you can't get engaged in and the reputation that comes with when someone knows they get under your skin, it spreads like wildfire.
Well, it hasn't gotten through to him. Either he doesn't know, or he knows and refuses to go by the rules, you know?
Yeah, the talent is still he's too intriguing for me. If I had to tell you right now what I would do, I'd want to sign him.
Me too. Jay Caulfield next.
Can I throw something at you? This is an interesting thought. Somebody on Twitter hit us up, both of us. Perfect Game 06 says, okay, let's talk about something else then, if you want to extend about the golden at bat.
Oh, my God.
The
no, guy I
says,
don't.
No, he says golden pitch. How about golden pitch? Pitcher throws only one pitch. Golden batter gets one chance. A strike, either called or swung on. He's out. A ball and all the runners score.
That would be unbelievable.
You would do that.
I'm for anything that's for fun and entertainment. I'd have to think about that one, Bob. I want baseball to be fun. It's an old, slow game that is desperately fighting for its existence in a sped-up world. And Rob Manfred recognized that some pretty radical thinking was going to have to occur to give it a chance to survive. And yet, does he overstep those bounds? You think he did here. I'm sure most people do. But I respect the thinking.